I love to see generations worshiping the Lord. One generation declaring the greatness of God to the next. Hallelujah. The last chorus we sang, inviting the Holy Spirit to be in this place. And that wherever he is, he gives evidence of his presence. You could sense the presence of the living God here this morning. And before the message, I'm going to ask Kamita Dover, if she's come, to give evidence of the presence of God, to give evidence of the power of God, to give testimony of the glory that is so deserving that we offer to him. So if Kamita, if you'll come at this moment, just hear what she has to share. Open your heart and let faith rise in you.
Well, good morning, Christian Assembly.
Good morning.
I am blessed. Are you blessed?
Yes.
I am blessed.
Yes.
If you're blessed, let me hear you say it. I am blessed. When I first started thinking about what I was going to speak about, I wasn't sure where I was going to go with this. But just, I believe it was last week, Pastor Tori said something. Every hardship is a test of faith. And that really resonated with me, with everything that I've been going through. You know, I've often heard that it's really easy to give a testimony when you have good news to share. But sometimes, maybe not as easy when you feel the news isn't so good. I think a lot of you know that I've been going through cancer since 2010. I had it back in 2010, it lasted 2 years. I went into remission around 2015. 2016, it came back with a vengeance. And I'll always remember it was on February 4th, 2016, at 2 o'clock. It's amazing how you can remember those types of things. And I heard the words, not only do you have cancer, but it's metastatic, meaning it's going to spread, it's inoperable, and it's incurable. So that's what I was living with. And when I first heard that, I'll admit, I was devastated. But then I started praying about it. I had a lot of prayer warriors right here. And I decided that regardless of what my diagnosis was, I was going to live life to the fullest and give praise to God, no matter what was going on. You know, like anybody, probably want to live a long life. I mean, look at my youthful mother, Grandma Helen, at age 94, still going strong. But I decided then that whether I had 30 years, 30 minutes, I'm going to live life to the fullest. So I'm just going to give you an idea of some things that happened with me at that time. First of all, I had been on my last job for 9 years, and I had just worked my way up to executive director 7 months before my diagnosis. And it was one of those things that I wanted to try to hold on to the job, but with all my appointments and everything, I just couldn't. And I felt like this position was 30 years in the making, and now I have to give it up. But my routine was going to doctor, going to radiation, I had chemo, I had all sorts of medications. A lot of them had a lot of side effects too. And it was during that time when I started telling myself sometimes, maybe I'm doing this for the last time. You know, I'd walk in the doors of Christian Assembly, is this the last time I'm going to be walking through those doors? And it even got so silly as I could be shopping and I'm in Kroger and I'm like, is this the last time I'm going to walk down aisle 15 and take a can of peas off the shelf? But those are the things that start going through your mind at that time. And then I remember I had this one sobering thought. It was on a Tuesday night after watching a show, and I'm thinking, will I live to find out what happened to Jack on This Is Us? I had a whole host of I'll nevers. But what I decided to do is, I'm not going to worry about that. Because the reality is that tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. So all of us need to live every day like it's our last, praising God, giving Him the glory. Well, something happened one day, and I remember I was in my room, and I was sitting in what used to be called my Judge Judy chair. I admit at night I have to watch an episode of Judge Judy, but that night I didn't have the TV on or anything. And I was just sitting there. And I'll never forget the next day, I found myself still in the chair. And it was one of those days I was having a real pity party for myself, thinking, oh, I've got this disease, what's going on? And when noon came around, I still had on my pajamas. And very clearly and audibly, I heard the words, "Can you get up?" At first, I thought it was the TV. Maybe it flipped back on from sleep mode, or maybe it was the radio. And then again, I heard, "Can you get up?" And I'm thinking, well, yes, I can get up. And I did. And I am convinced that that was the voice of God. You know, other people said it was my subconscious, whatever. I think it was the voice of God. So I got up, and once again, I said, I am going to live every day the best that I can. You know, for someone who wouldn't know me, they probably didn't even realize that I had cancer. Because I started living this life of, I am blessed. And I really felt that way. You know, I had this saying that I'm not dying from cancer, I'm living with it. You know, every day being able to give God the glory. And I knew each day when I woke up, I'd say, thank you, God, for giving me another day. And it was one of those things that I knew that no matter what happened, I could handle it because God was in control. I have to say that sometimes I get on Facebook. Some people say I may be a little addicted, but I feel that it's a way to keep me connected. And I started putting a lot of posts out there that said, I'm blessed. You know, I am so blessed. Look what God's doing. Isn't God great? And a couple people contacted me and said, well, did I miss a post? Are you healed? Why are you talking about you're blessed when you have this deadly disease? And I said, no, I'm not healed, but I can still give God the glory. Well, just to give you chronologically some things that were going on, if I go back to November 16th, and it was at that time I was told that my stage 4 cancer continues to spread. So far, the drugs that I was taking weren't working. But here's what I posted. Life is a gift. Live it to the fullest. February 17th, got another diagnosis. Things weren't going well. So I go home. One of my posts I put on is, embrace every second of life. And then on March 17th, I was told one other time, this drug isn't working. And one of my posts said, just feeling blessed and happy to be alive. I'm going to go up to December, and that's my birthday month. And I'll never forget the day of my birthday, on December 21st, I had a doctor's appointment. And I'm thinking, it's my birthday. Maybe I'll find out something good. And I went, and what they told me was, this last drug, not working at all. In fact, that's pretty much it. And you never want to hear the word hospice, but just in passing. You know, we were talking about what are some of the options if things just don't turn out right. And after she told me all this, my oncologist looked at me and said, how are you feeling? And I'll never forget, I looked at her and smiled and I said, you know what? I'm blessed. Well, of course, she's looking at me like, did she just hear what I told her? But you know what? I knew that God had me. Well, going into 2018, I was put on what was probably the final drug. And they're like, hopefully this will work because there just isn't anything else out there. It only lasted 3 weeks. It was absolutely terrible. I remember once again, for the fourth time, the little bit of hair that I had fell out again. My skin felt like an alligator to the touch, or what I think it would feel like. I've never petted one. But the worst thing was I had to have people drive me places. And I'm a very independent person, and I did not like asking someone to take me somewhere. And I knew I was really sick when a friend said, "Let's go for pizza." And anyone that knows me knows if I go more than 2 weeks, I have pizza withdrawals. I couldn't go. I did not want to go. So I asked her, I said, "Isn't there anything we can do? I've heard about this thing called immunotherapy." And she said, "Well, yeah, it's out there, but it's not for your type of cancer. You have a certain type of gene mutation that it just won't match up with it." And I said, "Well, do you know of any clinical trials or anything?" She goes, "No, there is nothing out there for you." So I remember that day, I was sitting in my prayer chair. Remember, it used to be the Judge Judy chair, now it's the prayer chair. And I was sitting there praying, and I just said, "I'm blessed. Thank you, God. Please direct my steps, because I'm at the end. I don't know what to do." And a lot of times people say, "Well, these things just happened out of the blue." But I know everything that happened next was God-led. When I first got sick, I had contacted about 3 different oncology places and decided to stay with the person I had before. But I still had the number of someone at the James Hospital. So I sent her an email and I said, "You know, here's what's going on with me. Love to get a second opinion. Could you get me in sometime?" Thinking hopefully within the next 30 days I get a response. She got back within 2 hours. Wow. She said, "I am so sorry. You can't come in today, but I have an opening at 3:00 tomorrow if you can be there." And I'm like, "I will be there." Well, the way the devil really tries to thwart your plans, that happened to me big time. You know, it was one of those things where I'm going down there. I'm not that familiar with the area in OSU, and I go to exit, the exit's closed. I'm thinking, I'll go to the next one, that one's closed. The next one's closed. Next thing I know, I'm 8 miles beyond where I'm supposed to be. I have a smartphone. I'm trying to dial in the information. Well, it's supposed to be a smartphone. It wasn't so smart that day. You know, as far as it was concerned, it had no idea that those exits were closed. And I remember I was so desperate at one point, I picked up the phone and held it up to the windshield and said, "Can't you see this exit is closed? Please take me to where I want to go." I think there was a man in a car next to me that's kind of looking like, "Let me go around this lady." But I got there probably a good hour late. Went in, I said, "I understand if you can't see me." She said, "If you don't mind, wait until this next patient, we will." So they took me in, they talked to me, I told her what was going on, and I said, "I realize that there are no more drugs out there. You know, I wanted to try the immunotherapy. I just need a second opinion." And I'll never forget, she looked at me and she said, "You know what? If you'd come here just 2 weeks ago, I would have agreed with that. But 10 days ago, a new drug was approved by the FDA that perfectly fits you." And then she said, "However," and I'm thinking, oh, here comes the however. But sometimes howevers are good. "However, we also have a clinical trial going on. So if you would like to get into this clinical trial, it also has immunotherapy." And I'm thinking, that's exactly what I wanted. So they hooked me up. They're doing all these exams and everything. I had to go back down there to get a biopsy done. They said, the biopsy is really important. We have to have a sample of your cancer so that we can match it exactly. The day I was going down for the biopsy was probably the worst winter day in Columbus. I got down there 2.5 hours late. And once again, I'm thinking the devil is trying to block my plans. I went there thinking they're probably not going to see me, but they did see me. So they did everything they needed to do, and then I just had to wait 2 weeks to make certain that I was a match. That was probably one of the longest 2 weeks of my life. She called back and said, "It's your choice, but you're in the study." And I don't know if you know too much about clinical studies, but you know, generally they try to compare groups. And group one had to take some pills, and it was a version of the approved pill. Group two was getting immunotherapy. Group three was getting both. And she said, "You are in group three." And I said, "Hallelujah, praise Jesus. You know, this is what I've been looking for. I'm going to be getting the best of everything, the immunotherapy, you know, the drugs. You know, I just don't know what to say. I was so happy. I told my family. I think we celebrated with pizza and everything. I went in, and I'm sitting there, and they're hooking me up to the chair to give me the immunotherapy, and I've got this big smile on my face. They put the drugs in me. I took the pills, lasted 6 days. It was supposed to be a 3-month trial. I was so sick, I had chills, I had fevers. I couldn't stand any type of motion whatsoever. If I was in a car, it felt like I was on a roller coaster or something. And basically, they had to take me out of the trial. And I guess I was a little confused at that time because I was so convinced, well, God, you led me to these doctors. You led me to this trial. It's exactly what I want. Why can't I continue to be in it? But they said, look, at this time, let's flush everything from your system for a couple weeks, and we're just going to put you on a couple pills. So I did. And even in the midst of this, I was still able to talk about how I'm blessed. If you could put up the slide for April 28, 2018. This is what I put on Facebook. Woke up feeling blessed, had to share. I am blessed. My shirt is my testimony today. Thank you, Sharon, Shannon, for giving it to me. And Shannon Gligori, I think there's a picture up here, gave me this shirt. I was going to wear it today, but I wear it so much, I think there's only one S in blessed now. But that's the way I feel. I am so blessed. But even taking this medicine, and I was on a reduced level, I kept feeling really tired. You know, I'd have to do something, and then I would have to rest. And I couldn't figure out why. So around June 8th, just last month, I went back and I said, yeah, I'm taking the medicine, but I'm feeling tired every day. So what they decided to do was they wanted to check my blood, my vitals and everything. And then they came in and said, well, we need to recheck it. So they went back, rechecked it. And then while I was sitting there, this lady comes in with a smile, offering me water and crackers. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, what's going on? And then the nurse came in and said, did you drive yourself? And I'm like, yes. They said, you need to call someone because you can't drive home. When the doctor came in, she said that my red blood cell level was so low that I should have been comatose. She couldn't believe that I had even driven myself there. And she said, we need to do an immediate blood transfusion, like right this second. So I didn't even have time to think about anything. So what they did, they sent me over to the James Hospital. I was down the street at a clinic. And the thing is, when you're getting, I don't know if anyone here has had a blood transfusion, for me, my mind sometimes works a little crazy. And I'm laying there, and I'm getting this blood transfusion, and I'm thinking, but whose blood am I getting? What if it's a serial killer? You know, what if the person whose blood I have like to eat raisins? Would I like those things too? And then I started thinking, what happens if I don't make it, if I don't get out of this bed? And one of the first thoughts I had, again, bizarre thought, is, I like playing words with friends. And I was in this really competitive game with Patty DePue. And my thought was, if I don't make it out of this bed, Patty is forever going to be the winner. And then, as I was closing my eyes and kind of resting, one thought came to me. If this is it for me, my very last meal on earth was some little graham crackers in the shape of dancing bears. That's not good. Well, obviously, I made it. And I went back to the doctor and I said, you know, how are things going? And they said, well, even with the blood transfusion, it went up maybe half a point. We were expecting much, much more. We're going to take you off of everything. They said, there's just nothing more at this point for you to take. And I'm thinking, I was at the one place, now I hear I'm at the James. They have cutting edge technology. You know, I tried the immunotherapy. I tried everything they could give to me. And she's saying, there really isn't anything. So they took me off of everything. About 4 weeks ago, I go back to my appointment. And this time, I know that God is in control. At the same time, you can't help but be a little nervous. And I went in there, and again, they checked all my vitals. And then they came back and said, we want to recheck. That was bad enough. When the lady walked in again with the water and the crackers, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, now where are they going to send me? But they came in and said, we just wanted to make certain before we came in here and talked to you. They said, first of all, your vitals were all good. In fact, they're almost perfect. Use the word perfect. And I was so happy, but at the same time, a little cautious because I've had good vitals before. And a lot of times, even with this type of disease, your vitals could be good. And then I specifically said, what about my red blood cell count? Because I'd had to have that transfusion. And she said, we don't understand this, but it's come up on its own. And in fact, we were hoping for it to be, I think the level's like around a 9 or something. Well, normal is 11, you're at 11.5. So I'm like, oh my goodness. And then, she's looking through her stack of paper, and I said, okay, that's all good, but at the same time, I need to know, what about my bone marrow test? Because they'd had me do a bone marrow test, too, because they thought it had gone into my bones. And they came back and said, it's all clear. There's nothing in your bones. So I said, well, the key now is let's focus on the tumors, because I knew that I had a couple tumors. And I said, what's happening with the tumors? You know, are they growing or what? And she stood up really close to me, and her knees were almost touching mine. And she looked at me, and she said, well, here's what I have to tell you. If you could put that next slide up, please. There is no active disease. Tumors go. And just quickly to give you a backstory, one day, probably 2 weeks before all this happened, I was sitting again in what's now my prayer chair, and I'll never forget, I'm sitting there and I had like this vision, I think I'm kind of nodding off, but in this vision there were these swirls of light that just sort of engulfed me right here. And next thing I know, it swirled around and went away. The next day, I woke up in my chair. So I'm thinking, that was really a strange dream that I had, that this light sort of engulfed my chest, and it's like the tumors had left. And when I think back, I will tell anyone, that was the moment God healed me. That was God, came in, took everything away. So I am very convinced that my file is in a file under the most annoying patient because I call my doctor and I contact her about everything. So just a few days ago, I asked her, I said, you know, I have to understand this. You know, all the sickness I've gone through, you know, my disease was metastatic, it was inoperable, it was incurable. And now you're saying there is no active disease. How often does this happen? Is this common? And her response was, it's rare. And she wants to study more and find out what's going on. In fact, the makers of the drug sent me a packet to sign off on so they can take blood samples and so that they can study my charts to find out what happened. And you know, the thing is, I'm not knocking doctors, but I know they're going to be sitting there studying and looking down in their vials and their microscopes and everything, trying to find out. While they're looking down, they need to be looking up. Because if they look up, you know, that is where the answer lies. So what I want to do is just to leave you with a couple scriptures that help me through all of this. The first one, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I have to say, the patient in affliction, that was hard. It was hard for me, but I was able to get through it. The next one is, nothing is impossible with God. Yes. Nothing. I am living proof. Nothing is impossible with God. And then there's one that I love and said just this morning, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And the thing is, the key word there is this. This is the day. You know, it's not tomorrow, it's not next week, you know, it's not when things are doing, you know, going good for you. It's not just, you know, when you're having troubles, it's not far off. This is the day. This is the moment. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I am here to say that no matter what you're going through, God is in control. And even though I have a good testimony, the cancer is gone. The other thing I want you to understand, too, is it was important for me to keep this attitude all through the disease. Even when all those things were being thrown at me, I was able to get up every day and say, I am blessed. I am blessed. Thank you. Happy story.
Give the Lord a praise offering. Come on.